All right, well, this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And I will read Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I have a specific aim for you this morning, I guess more specific than I usually do when I preach, and that is to challenge you to read your entire Bible in the year 2018 and to read your Bible every day. And to help you do that, you should be receiving in the mail a calendar, a schedule. And if you follow this schedule, you will finish both the Old and the New Testament, and you'll be on the same page with everyone else each day who's doing this from the church. And so whether you've done this every year for a long time in recent memory, or whether this is going to be your first year on this calendar, I challenge you just the same to do that and experience the blessing of that. And it's in order that you might be wise in 2018. And that's what our passage says is the purpose of the book of Proverbs. It's to know wisdom and instruction, to experience wisdom. You need wisdom in 2018. Wisdom is knowing what to do at the right time, having the appropriate response to each new situation. And when I say appropriate response, I mean appropriate response to keep you out of the ways of death, which means out of the ways of sin, out of the ways of temptation, and to keep you moving along and prospering in the ways of life. In fact, the book of Proverbs says about wisdom, watch over wisdom in your heart because it is your life. And so it's the ways, the right response in the right situation to keep you in the way of life and not in the way of death. You need wisdom in 2018, whether you're young or whether you're old. And so the parents of the youngest child here should be raising their child in the ways of wisdom. And at the same time, the oldest and the most mature saint here should be increasing in, and seeking a better understanding of wisdom. And that's what it says in this passage. It's to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. But then a wise man, a wise person, someone who's already wise, will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And the only way for you to gain wisdom and be wise in this next year is to listen, to be in Scripture, to be reading the Scripture and to be reading it every day. And it says that too in verse 5, a wise man will hear. That's how he's going to become more wise. He's going to hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And that's why you need to read the whole Bible, and that's why you need to read the Bible every day. Now, you might think of my task this morning to challenge you to read the Bible next year, and you might say, well, wait a minute, the passage that I've selected, it's an introduction to just one book of the Bible. This is not the introduction to the whole Bible. This is the introduction to one book. It's the book of Proverbs. If you start tomorrow on the calendar, which I hope you all do, you'll be in Genesis and you'll be in Matthew, and you won't get to Proverbs until September. So is that what I'm trying to do this morning, is to prepare you for September? So now you'll be ready when you get to Proverbs in the month of September. No, my purpose in selecting this passage is to prepare you for the whole year, prepare you to read the whole Bible. So I'm giving this as an introduction to the whole Bible. So let me put it this way to start. We ought not to think of the wisdom books, we call it that sometimes, the wisdom literature, this portion of Scripture, including the book of Proverbs, we ought not to think of the wisdom books as sealed off and separate from the rest of the Bible. The wisdom books, or the book of Proverbs, are not so different from the rest of the Bible. Joseph was wise in Potiphar's house and in prison and in the house of Pharaoh when he was ruler of Egypt. He had the right response to each new situation to keep him in the way of life and not in the way of death. Joseph was wise with his brothers. He was wise with his father. He was wise about moving the family to Egypt. He was wise even in preparing for his own death and for his own burial. Joseph knew what to do at the right time. Joseph was wise. Daniel was wise. Moses was wise. David, Abigail, Solomon were wise. The Apostle Paul was wise. And in the Lord Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Paul says about him, by his doing, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so it's the whole Bible, not just the book of Proverbs, that speaks of wisdom. And Proverbs itself is not so different from the rest of the Bible. Well, this morning, I want to ask and answer three questions for you to ponder. And I'll list them all three now. And as I do, you'll see they all focus on verse 7. They all focus on verse 7. So here are the three questions. First, why is the fear of the Lord called the beginning of wisdom? Second, what is the fear of the Lord? And third, why do fools despise wisdom and instruction? So question number one, what does it mean that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? And that's what it says in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Chapter 9 and verse 10 says something similar. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's very similar to knowledge. So do you see that word there? Beginning. It means, of course, the first part, or it means the foundation. And so right here at the start of the book, in the introduction to the book, the beginning of the book of Proverbs, in a very conspicuous place, he gives the purpose for the book of Proverbs, and then he gives this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the first part, the foundation of knowledge. He puts it in this proverb in a very conspicuous place. It's like a gatekeeper to the rest of the book of Proverbs, the rest of the wisdom that's contained in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is to wisdom what the ABCs are to reading. You can't read at all unless you know the alphabet, unless you know the ABCs. And so also in the same way, you can't be wise at all unless you fear the Lord. That's what it's saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't be wise at all if you don't fear the Lord. Now, let me pause right there and ask a question that has been puzzling me for a while, and that's one of the reasons I decided to preach on it, is because this question's been puzzling me, and that is that really true? Is that even true? That you can't be wise at all unless you fear the Lord? And let's take a few proverbs that are found elsewhere later in the book as an example. I took some of the early ones from chapter 10, where it starts giving the individual proverbs. Chapter 10, verse 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Or the next one. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. And both of these are about the value of hard work. And not being lazy, because laziness is going to bring poverty, but diligence is going to bring wealth. And let me ask the question, is it only those who fear the Lord who know that? Who know those principles? Is it only those who fear the Lord who do this, who are diligent, who work with a diligent hand, who harvest at the appropriate time instead of sleeping? Or are there many who don't know the Lord at all, don't fear the Lord at all? Who know that? Who do that? Who work with a diligent hand and become rich because of that? So what does it mean if, as I think is obvious, people who don't fear the Lord, they do this. There's some that work very hard and know the value of hard work who don't fear the Lord at all. So what does it mean then that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? You can't have any knowledge. You can't have any wisdom unless you fear the Lord. Well, let me answer by going back to an episode in the life of David in 2 Samuel, Amnon, David's oldest son. And Amnon was infatuated with his beautiful half-sister Tamar and frustrated because it seemed impossible to him to act on that love or express it or do anything about it. And Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. And the scripture says about Jonadab, not only was he a wise man, but a very wise man. It's 2 Samuel 13, verse 3 says Jonadab was a very wise man. And it was because Jonadab was so wise, very wise, that he was able to tell Amnon how he could rape his half-sister Tamar. And he did, and that's what happened. Jonadab did not fear the Lord. Jonadab did not fear the Lord at all, or else he would have never given that kind of advice. And yet he's called wise because he was able to come up with an effective plan. So how can this be? And I'm going to call Jonadab's wisdom today a sham wisdom, a sham wisdom. Not because it isn't real wisdom. It is. Scripture calls it wisdom explicitly. It says that Jonadab was a very wise man. And so much of Jonadab's wisdom overlaps with the kind of wisdom that Solomon is presenting in the Proverbs and inculcating in the book of Proverbs. That's why the same word is used for it. Both of them are called wisdom, and yet they're different. They're overlapping, but they're completely different. Jonadab knew a lot of the wisdom that's found in the book of Proverbs. In fact, he had an advanced knowledge of it. He was very wise in much of the wisdom that's found in the book of Proverbs. And yet, Jonadab didn't fear the Lord. And so it's a sham wisdom. It's a different, it's similar. It's very alike. It's overlapping, but it's a different kind of wisdom than what Solomon is trying to inculcate in those who hear him. And you'll see that in verse 3 of our passage. Solomon says his point for the book of Proverbs is that the reader would receive instruction in wise behavior. And that word even has something to do with success, successful behavior, behavior that leads to success. But then it puts it with this: righteousness, justice, and equity. And Jonadab might know something about behavior that leads to success, but it's not righteousness or justice or equity that that his wisdom consists of. And so Solomon is inculcating a totally different kind of wisdom. The same is true of a number of the other words that are found here in the introduction, like the word in verse 4. Solomon says he means to give prudence to the naive. And that word prudence, it's used elsewhere in Scripture for Satan. It's translated there as subtlety or cleverness, craftiness, but it's the same word. Satan is wise in his way. Satan agrees with and practices many of the principles that are taught in the book of Proverbs. And yet his wisdom is a sham wisdom, even though it overlaps with the wisdom of the book of Proverbs in many places. Take, for example, an evil warlord. And if he survives long enough over his rivals to prevail for a long time, he probably understands the proverb found in Proverbs 24, verse 6, "By wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory." So if you quote that proverb to him, he'll write a commentary on it. He'll provide many vivid examples of how this is true, about how war is won not through one person, but through many counselors, and waging war through wisdom. But that's not the wisdom that Solomon is inculcating. And we can say this about that wisdom, about Jonadab's wisdom. It doesn't lead up to the wisdom of the book of Proverbs like a ladder. Like if you just keep going in that wisdom, you'll eventually get to the wisdom that Solomon is speaking of. You've already got a part of it. You got this little piece of it. And so if you just keep going in that direction, you'll be on the right track. No, that's not the way it relates to the wisdom that Solomon is teaching. If Jonadab becomes more wise than he was before, in other words, more effective in each new situation, in his surface wisdom, he only becomes in an ultimate sense more of a fool, because his wisdom doesn't lead at all to the wisdom that Solomon is speaking of. Jonadab is wise on the surface. In fact, he's called very wise because he's wise on the surface. But in the ultimate sense, you never met a bigger fool than Jonadab. I'll give another example. It takes a certain wisdom and training to become an abortion doctor. In fact, it takes much of the same wisdom and much of the same training as it does to be a doctor who delivers babies. They study the same charts, the same diagram. The science of one is not foreign to the science of the other, but one practices for good, the other practices for evil. And so wisdom, the kind of wisdom that Solomon is talking about here in the book of Proverbs, it has a shape. It hangs all together. It's not piecemeal. It can't be just collected piecemeal. And so if you heed and obey and practice and master one of the Proverbs that you've found, you're not necessarily that much wiser in the kind of wisdom that Solomon is talking about, unless you have the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the kind of wisdom that Solomon is inculcating. So the wisdom of Proverbs is more than just the sum of its parts. It's more than just taking all the different Proverbs that are found and putting them together, and there you have the wisdom of Solomon. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you don't have the wisdom of Solomon. And so the wisdom of Proverbs is more than the sum of its parts. It's like, take the word butter, you know what that means. Take the word fly, you know what that means, a fly that flies around. If you put them together, knowing those two parts and those two meanings doesn't help you to know what the word butterfly means. It has a meaning that's all its own, that's not just the sum of those two parts. If you take all of the ingredients for concrete and you put them all together and you don't mix them with water, you don't have concrete. You don't have something that's going to last. You just have a pile of rubble. And in this way, wisdom is really not that different from what's taught in the rest of the Bible. You can obey Proverbs for evil, apart from the fear of the Lord. You can also obey the commandments of Scripture for evil, without the fear of the Lord. And if you don't believe me, you say, well, that's too far-fetched, that you could obey commandments of Scripture for evil without the fear of the Lord. If you don't believe me, read the Sermon on the Mount, and especially chapter 6. Of Matthew, of the Sermon on the Mount. It will come just 1 week from today if you're following along on your schedule. And there you'll learn that you can obey the commandments of Scripture in such a way that you have your reward in full. And you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So you can obey commandments of Scripture for evil, just as you can obey the Proverbs and heed the Proverbs of Scripture for evil. That proverb that we just read, by wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. You can wage war in an evil cause. You can wage war in a way that's evil. You're obeying that one proverb, so to speak. You're heeding it, but you're doing it apart from the fear of the Lord. And so it's something that is evil. But let me tell you this. You can never obey and heed what Solomon means by this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to talk about exactly what Solomon means by that in just a moment. But you can never obey that proverb for evil. You can never have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, for evil. It's impossible to obey that for evil. In fact, if you obey that, if you have that fear of the Lord, the rest of the Proverbs will be to you real wisdom and not sham wisdom, not like the wisdom of Jonadab. Well, I want to say one more thing about this sham wisdom before we get to the next of our three questions. And that is that sham wisdom, Jonadab's wisdom, the kind of wisdom that Satan has and uses, sham wisdom without the fear of the Lord will get you good results. It will bring you success. Jonadab's did. The purpose that he had in mind is the purpose that was actually accomplished. But those successful consequences will not be indicators of eternal consequences. In fact, they're just the opposite. They're bad indicators of eternal consequences. This wisdom without the fear of the Lord, this sham wisdom. That's not the kind of wisdom that Solomon wants for his son when he writes the book of Proverbs. Not wisdom that's wisdom on the surface, but is really foolishness. Solomon wants wisdom for his son that's wisdom all the way down, through and through, from top to bottom, whose successful consequences are faithful messengers of eternal consequences. That's the wisdom that he says for his son, and this chapter is going to be a graceful wreath on your head and ornaments about your neck. So for the one who doesn't fear the Lord, when he puts his wisdom into place, even in places where it overlaps with the book of Proverbs, when the successful outcome comes, it's not an indicator of eternal consequences. In fact, that same thing is, in a way, it's true even for the one who fears the Lord. Sometimes the consequences, the good outcome of practicing wisdom for the one who fears the Lord is delayed. It's deferred for a time. It's like that angelic messenger in the book of Daniel, when Daniel humbled himself before the Lord and prayed. A messenger was sent, and the messenger came. He said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days until Michael came and helped me. And so that messenger was delayed. But for the one who fears the Lord, the successful outcomes are messengers of eternal consequences. So what should be your motivation for practicing real wisdom? And it's not successful outcomes, getting successful outcomes. It's the fear of the Lord. And here I think I'm putting my finger on really on the real difference between real wisdom and sham wisdom, between Joseph's wisdom and Jonadab's wisdom. Jonadab's wisdom is done for success. That's what he's after, whether it's a messenger of God's eternal consequences or not. He wants the success, and that's why he studies wisdom. Jonadab's wisdom is done for success. Joseph's wisdom is done with a different motive. It's done in the fear of the Lord. And let me give you an example of that, those two different motives, in the practice of honesty. Practice of honesty. The world values practicing honesty. And why? Because it's good for business. In fact, the world even has a little proverb about that, a saying about that. Honesty is the best policy. It's the best policy. It's the best policy that you could put in place for your company. What does the book of Proverbs say? It says, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, and a just weight is his delight. What does it say? A false balance is the worst policy that you could have, and a just weight is the best policy? No, it says a false balance is something the Lord hates. It's an abomination to the Lord. And a just weight is a delight to the Lord. A totally different motive. Totally different motive, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference when no one else is watching. This motive makes all the difference, and it permeates the rest of the book of Proverbs, just like the fear of the Lord. Even when it's not mentioned, some of the Proverbs, that motive isn't mentioned. It permeates the rest of the book of Proverbs as it does the rest of the commandments of the Bible. They must all be permeated by the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let this be your motive. Cultivate the fear of the Lord for wisdom in the year 2018. And it's only found in Scripture. It's the only place where you're going to learn to fear the Lord. And that's why you need to read the whole Bible, and you need to read it every day. There's no other way to cultivate the fear of the Lord. So the first question this morning, why is the fear of the Lord called the beginning of wisdom? It's because it's the first part. It's the foundation of all of the other ones. It's the one thing that makes whatever wisdom you gain real wisdom and not a fake sham wisdom. It's because without the fear of the Lord, whatever wisdom you gain will be like Jonadab's will be a sham wisdom unless it's accompanied by the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. The second question, and it's overdue because we've already been talking about it, so we might as well ask it. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? And first of all, let me say an answer to that question. It really means fear. The fear of the Lord is not a stand-in for some other concept or some other word. The fear of the Lord and that word for it, it's not only a good word and an adequate word, it's the best word that could be chosen for this, what Solomon is speaking of. It is fear. And we know what fear is. It's the fear of the Lord. But just as there's two kinds of wisdom, and I've been especially emphasizing that, a real wisdom and a sham wisdom, or at least one kind of wisdom that Solomon is really after inculcating in his reader and one that he's not. So there's also two kinds of fear. There's two kinds of fear of the Lord, or of anything really. There's a fear that repels from the thing that's feared, and then there's another kind of fear that draws to the thing that's feared. And let me give an example, and I'm for some reason I'm giving a bunch of kind of hard-hitting examples this morning, but somebody who's caught in a terrorist attack, like some that we've seen, they're afraid with a fear that repels. They just want to get out of there, like some of these shootings that we've seen. They just want to get away from it. That's a fear. It's a real fear that repels. But there's other kinds of fears, too, that draw in, that attract, that fascinate, that infatuate. You might even think of an adventure. It involves some element of danger, and some people are attracted to it. They fear it. They fear the danger that's part of it, and yet they're attracted to it even for that reason, because of the danger. Or think of a very powerful tool that's dangerous to use, and yet for that reason even, someone might be attracted to use it, or a weapon. And there's fear in that, and yet it also attracts, and the person who fears it is even somehow drawn to it. Well, those are all really poor illustrations for the fear of the Lord. He's not really like a quest, or like a machine, or like a tool, or like a weapon. And that's why I think other preachers, and not just me, kind of struggle and fail to explain and illustrate what it means, this fear of the Lord that doesn't repel, but that attracts. It is fear that in itself, if it was unmixed with anything else, would repel you from God. But this is fear mixed with something else which draws you to God, as well as causing you to fear Him. In fact, it makes that fear even cause you to be drawn to the Lord even more. The book of Deuteronomy speaks of fear together with love. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll read you just parts of this chapter. It says, "You and your son and your grandson must fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life that your days may be prolonged." And just three verses later, it says this, "You shall love the Lord your God," this is chapter 6 and verse 5, "with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And so Moses in Deuteronomy has no trouble mixing fear with love. And it's he's speaking of the same thing that Solomon is speaking of when he's speaking of the fear of the Lord. It's not so different. The wisdom literature, not so different from the rest of the Bible. It's fear mixed together with love. Fear mixed together with love. And if you're going to have this fear mixed together with this love, it's based on the belief, based on faith, that God acts both now and in the future, that He moves, He lives, He loves, He gives life, He rewards, He punishes, He hears, He sees, He acts irrevocably. None can stay His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Everything that He does will remain forever. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, God's doing, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable servants with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." When you understand who God is, you fear who He is, and yet it's a fear that doesn't repel you from Him when you understand that He's a Savior as well, but it's a fear that attracts you to Him. The only place you're going to learn this fear is in the pages of Scripture. That's where you, the only place where you're going to learn to believe that God acts in such a way that he might be feared, not with a fear that repels, but with a fear that attracts. And so you need to read the whole Bible, and you need to be reading the Bible every day. So my questions again, question number one, why is the fear of the Lord called the beginning of wisdom? And it's because you must have it, or else all your wisdom is a sham. The second, what is the fear of the Lord? And it really is fear, or else it wouldn't be called fear. But it's not a fear that repels. It's a fear that captivates, because it is mixed with love. And then the third question, I'll end with this one. Why do fools despise wisdom and instruction? And that's what it says, verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. And so, yes, Jonadab, who knows how to operate wisdom on the surface. In fact, he's very good at operating wisdom on the surface to get what he wants. He knows how to pull the right lever at just the right time to get the outcome that he desires. And yet he hates what wisdom really is. And it's the same with Satan. Satan is an operator of the principles of wisdom in many overlapping ways to the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. But he really hates what wisdom really is. He uses it, but he hates it at the same time. It's the same with fools. They despise wisdom, the kind of wisdom that Solomon is speaking of, and instruction. Wisdom and instruction. Now, this word instruction, I want to quote from a commentary that defines this word, someone who knows Hebrew very well, because actually I think instruction can kind of give the wrong connotation, like it's an instruction manual. And this is what this man says. He says, musar, and that's the Hebrew word given for instruction. It basically means correction, whether verbal or physical. And so the word is used, it has the idea of not just instruction, like you're going to learn something new, but correction. You're going to be correct, and it's used for verbal correction sometimes, probably here. It's also used for physical correction, instruction, like blows. It's used in some context like that. And so fools, like Jonadab, who is a fool in this sense, although he knows how to operate wisdom, he despises wisdom and especially instruction, especially being corrected, because wisdom constantly corrects you and corrects you to the heart, rebukes you to the heart. Fools don't like that, can't abide that, despise that, despise wisdom and instruction. And that's why you need this book. You need all of it, and you need it every day, because nothing will cut you, will instruct you like this book. Hebrews speaks about this. Chapter 4, the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The spirit, the word of God cuts you to that level, not just your outward actions, but the thoughts, the intentions of the hearts. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the fear of the Lord. The word cuts you open and exposes you to the Lord and gives you the fear of the Lord. But you want to be cut by this book. You want to be cut to the heart by this book. You want to face in the mirror and believe what the Bible tells you about yourself, as ugly as it might be, before God, because you also believe what the Bible tells you about God and that he's a savior of sinners. The only story that God is interested in, you'll find this throughout the Bible, in all of its parts, the story of Israel, which is a major part of the Bible. You'll find the only story of that God is interested in is the story of redemption, of restoring what has been ruined. That's why Scripture says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so God strikes all those that he raises up. He wounds all those that he heals, and you want to be wounded in that way. That's why when you understand this about God, that he works in this way, that he wounds those that he raises up, that he delights in redemption, you fear him, but with a fear that attracts you to him. And this is according to, and I'll read you one more proverb, because this speaks of the way the Lord works in this way and works through his word. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And when you understand that God is your friend, faithful are the wounds of your friend. You want to be cut in this way, a way that Scripture only can cut you by the word of God. So the three questions, I'll just remind you of them again at the end here. Why is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? It's because there's no wisdom without the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? It really is fear. There's no substitute to replace it. No word that would be better in that place. But it's not to repel. It's to attract you, because it's a fear that's mingled together with love. And then why do fools despise wisdom and instruction? And it's because they refuse to be cut. They refuse to be cut by the word of God. They can discipline the exterior for the sake of success. Jonadab knew that. He was not a stranger to that. Self-discipline is not strange to people who don't fear the Lord. They know what self-discipline is about on the exterior, but they can't abide musar, instruction, correction that cuts all the way to the heart. So let me ask this question. Do you experience the fear of the Lord? Do you know the fear of the Lord? May the Lord help you in 2018 to read your Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, to read your Bible every single day, or if you miss a day or miss a couple of days, to get back on track quickly in reading it. And may it not be just an exercise for you or a routine for you, but may it make your heart soft toward God. That's the purpose of the cutting of Scripture, to know God and his love. That's what you'll find in Scripture as it cuts you. You'll know God and his love, and to fear him with a fear that's mixed with love. That's the point. Not the success of wisdom, but it's what the success of wisdom means. It means that you know God. It means that you fear him. So may it not be just an exercise as you read through your Bible this year, but may it make your heart soft toward God and make you wise in all your ways. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've shown us your love, and that you are love, and you show us this by showing us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a fearful thing it is to see in our mind's eye Christ on the cross, to understand there the weight of our sin that weighs us down, not just on the exterior, but all the way to the inside, to the heart, and yet also to see your love. And so may we respond with fear, fearing you, a fear that attracts us to you, a fear that causes us to want to know you, that causes us to want to read your word and know and experience who you are and your love for us. We pray that we might grow in the fear of you, and we pray that we might grow in wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.